and welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Dr. Matthew Vroman, pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Accutan, Alaska. I'm so glad you are with me on this wonderful Sunday. We're going to have a great program listening to some wonderful Christian music, and then we're going to continue our Bible study on how to work out spiritually. Are you spiritually healthy? And we've been going through this will be the fourth lesson. We have one more after that. And the goal is that we would come away and know what to do to become spiritually healthy. I want to open up with a song, but first, let me pray. Father, thank you again for this time. I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide it. Lord, I pray that if anybody doesn't know you, they'd understand about you. Bless all the people listening. Help it to go well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worthy, worthy, worthy,
Have you ever thought about what is grace? That song was by Phil Wickham. This is Amazing Grace, the official music video on YouTube if you want to check it out. So what is this thing? We know Amazing Grace, the song. Well, what is grace? We're studying about hope. Well, what is grace? Got my Bible here. It's good to have your Bible. It's Ephesians chapter 2. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Love. It is mercy is not getting what I do deserve. So in other words, because of our sin, we deserve hell. But by God's mercy through Christ, we don't get hell. Grace is the idea of God's unmerited. I can't do anything to earn it. Here's what Ephesians 2:8-9 says. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's by grace are you saved. Saved to God. So if you think you're going to heaven because of your good works, even though they're probably really good works, you can't go to heaven by your good works. It's only through faith, by the grace of God. So remember that. Don't trust your works. Trust Christ. Let me give you another verse. It's Titus. I've been thinking about Titus. There's a good verse on the end times and the blessed hope we have. But let me read you. In Titus, it says this. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness will you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be heirs according to the hope of eternal life, not by works, the writer writes. So again, let's remember, we're not saved by our works.
Though my heart and flesh may fail, there's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome, and the grave is overwhelmed. The victory and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God. Fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
I have always loved that song, and because it clearly communicates when you hope in Christ, you will rise with Christ. The scriptures are very, very clear about that. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I so hope that you do. Let me read you a psalm. It's important that every day you read the Bible, because the Bible is God's word to us. If we want to know what God wants us to know, we need to go to the Bible. In Deuteronomy 29:29, it says this. 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." God has given us his law, his Bible, and we need to obey them. Of course, the Bible says we all have sinned, we've broken God's commandments, but Christ saved us, and we need to walk in obedience to him. As I mentioned, I want to read a psalm. You ever thought about how to have a blessed life? Sometimes people said, I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, how do you know you're blessed and highly favored? Just saying it or feeling it. The Bible is really clear. Here's one way to be blessed. It's Psalm 1. Blesses the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. People that are not characterized by godliness, the characters of God, the characteristic of God. Counsel, not listening to that. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Sinners are people that are doing the wrong thing. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So it goes from listening, the counsel, standing, and now you're sitting. You're part of the people that are scorning or mocking God. But, so the man that doesn't do those things is blessed. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. Hey, what's something you delight in? I like Coke. I got a Coke or a can right here. And I delight in it. I enjoy it. Candy. Maybe for you it's something, work or exercise or something. But the point is, he says, the person that's blessed will make their delight in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate. Meditate means think deeply, not empty your mind, but fill your mind with God's word day and night. And then he gives a picture. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We don't have a lot of trees on our island. A lot of these islands don't have a lot of trees. But we know trees that are planted by the river of water, they're healthy. They've got nourishment that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. We want the fruit. And his leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. So the idea of this is a healthy person. They're blessed of God. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff, which the wind driveth away. Chaff is that dusty stuff when you're doing the harvest. He said that's what it's like when you're not engaging with the word of God. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. If you want to be blessed, you have to be in God's word. Let's remember that as we listen to our next song.
He heard my cries, he bowed his ear and chased my griefs away. Oh, let my breath
And that song is called I Love the Lord. Just the idea of her my cry, and you just hear in the song a vibrant relationship with God. It says he loved us. We love him because he loved us. We didn't initiate the love. He loves us. And I'm just so thankful of that. Let's move into our Bible study in just a minute, but I have one more psalm, and then we'll go right into our Bible study on today's program. Like I said, we're going to be looking, we'll do a review, and then we're going to look at the fourth daily battle discipline. How do you win? And so I think you'll enjoy it. Let's go with one more song, and then I'm going to pray, and we're going to get right in the Bible study.
Give strength to live or open rivers.
but you. No one can do the things you do. The first, the last, the beginning and the end, the great I am, the great I am. You called and you saved. We rejoice in your name.
This song, The Great I Am, is taken from Isaiah 41, and if you read the chapter, you'll find about every word of the song in there. But it's a celebration of the complete otherness of God, that He can do things that none of us can do, that He's the beginning and the ending, He's the one who calls and saves, and we can rejoice in His name. The idols that we can produce cannot give us rest or redemption. Whether those idols be our goals and our ambitions, our priorities that shape and guide our days, whether it be the influences of the world around us that shape the way we pursue relationships or the reasons why we want to make money, it could be our idols could be our own flesh and our own desires for pleasure or comfort. God is so far superior to all these things, and He's worthy of us to listen to Him in silence and regain the strength that we need to follow Him in obedience. I love this verse, Isaiah 41, verse 4. It says, "Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, the first and the last, I am He." So I hope you enjoy this song and can join me in just praising the great I am.
I don't always play the video that comes with the song, but I thought that was really good how she explained about the song she'd written. It's The Great I Am, about who God is. So I'm just excited about that song. I've always loved it ever since I heard it. Let's get to the Bible study. This is number 4. You can find the previous episodes on apradio.org if you want to go back and review. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this Bible study. Bless those that are reading it. All of us would make sure we are spiritually healthy. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, do you got your Bibles? Let's open them. So here's the thing. Working out spiritually. We know what working out physically is. And the idea of, we have an idea, maybe we do it. You're going to eat better. You're going to work your muscles. I was just playing basketball tonight, and I was out of breath. Those guys were running fast. I need to get in shape. So we talked about, what does that look like spiritually, to be spiritually fit? The first point is every Christian is either growing or not growing spiritually. In other words, you're either going forward or not going forward, but you're not staying neutral. If you want to be spiritually healthy, you have to make sure you are a Christian. Now, before you jump to conclusions, Let's review what a Christian is. It is not someone who says, well, I'm a member of the Methodist Church, or I'm a member of the Baptist Church, or the Catholic, or Orthodox. That doesn't make someone a Christian. What makes them a Christian is they have the life. 1 John 5:11-12. Let me read this to you. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son has life. He that hath not the Son of God has not life. You've got to have the Son in your life, Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to Scriptures. You are saved by believing in Christ. His death, burial, and resurrection. Sin separates you from God. Jesus died for sin. The punishment for sin is hell, and you need to trust Christ. So if you're a real Christian, that's the foundation to start to grow spiritually. Next, what's the first thing you need to do to grow spiritually? Daily time in the Word of God. That's your spiritual food. 1 Peter 2:2-3, like newborn infants, long for the unadulterated spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up to salvation, if you have tasted that the Lord is kind. So the Word of God is our spiritual food. And if we want to grow, we have to make sure we're spending daily time in His Word. I read it earlier, but Psalm 1:2, but His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law does He meditate day and night. So we're trying to mentally engage with the Word of God, thinking about what is said and how can I apply it to my life. Number two, daily focused prayer. Daily focused prayer. I don't mean the kind that you do when you're on the run. You're driving, you say, oh, I'm praying on that. But I mean where you sit down and you're focused and you're praying. Let me read you, it's Luke 18. The first 8 or 9 verses. Here's what it said. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray. What did I say? What did Jesus say? Always to pray and not to faint. Don't give up. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man, and there was a widow in that city. Now, a couple of things. This judge, he's set up by Jesus in parable. Parable, there's always one main point. To be just not a great guy. He didn't fear God. He didn't care about people. In the city, there's a widow. Well, widows were the lowest social place. They had no rights. They were looked down on. So this powerful judge, and you have this woman who's a widow. And she came unto him, the judge, saying, avenge me of mine adversaries. And he would not for a while. But afterwards she said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. So what happened? This widow keeps coming to God, coming to the judge, not God, coming to the judge, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get wore. I don't care about men, I don't care about God, but I'm going to help this woman because she's wearing me out. Then Jesus gives the meaning. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he beareth long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. So the idea, if this judge who's wicked does it for the widow, how much more will he do for his elect, the chosen, his people, who are calling out to him? And then he finishes with this question in Luke 18. This section, not the last verse in the chapter, he says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Faith on the earth. And that's found in Luke 18. When he returns, what he wants to see is faith. Trusting him and faith is a relationship with him. So we read Luke 18:1 through 8. The idea of concerted prayer, and I gave an acronym, ACTS, A-C-T-S, adoration, start praising Him, how awesome you are, God. C, confession, tell Him what you did, confess your sins, tell Him, hey, I did that. Thankfulness, the T is thankfulness, you did this, and the S is supplication, Lord, I need this, I pray for others. So A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thankfulness, and supplication. So the first two disciplines, you got to make sure you're a Christian, but you daily time in the Word, focus prayer. The third one was winning the daily battle inside, the mental battle. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Where do our issues come from? Not other people, but our own heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence. And then what do we need to do in this daily battle? Casting down imagination, things that aren't real that we're thinking about, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience fulfilled. Bringing our thoughts into obedience, into the Word of God. Don't let your thought life get out of control. So the Word plus focused prayer plus mental equals things that will help you be have a healthy relationship with Christ. Now let's go on. A couple more verses. Remember, it is a relationship. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3:12, and before that I read John 15:5. So there's the first three. Now the fourth one, not quitting. Everything wants us to quit, but healthy Christians stick it out. Healthy Christians stick it out. Here's what Jesus said. Luke 9:62. Oh, I think I jumped ahead. One thing I wanted to say, that one I said, I press towards the mark. I'm going for what Christ has provided for me, the prize. And then the one before that was John 15:5. I'm the vine, you're the branches, abiding in him, having a real relationship with him. But now we're going on to not quitting. Luke 9:62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I need to look ahead, not looking back. So how do we do this? How do we not quit? Well, first of all, we have to understand that God has a plan. He has a purpose, a plan, and he's working and doing great things to bring it to pass in our lives. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing. Are you confident of this? That he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began a good work and he will finish the work. And then Isaiah 41:2-10, fear thou not, for I'm with thee. This was my verse in basic training when I was in the Air Force and I was so scared sometimes. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So God is with you. He's working out things in your life. He has a plan. You may say, I don't feel it, I don't like it. Well, is it your plan or is it his plan? Is it my plan or is it his plan? It's his plan and his work, and he's doing it, and it's painful. It can be challenging, but ultimately is good. But we have to believe that God's at work in our life, or we will not continue. Next point. So we understand that God has a plan. The next thing about not quitting, making the commitment. Jesus is talking about this in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 57. I'm going to read them and make some observation. 57 and 58. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head. What is he saying there? The man said, I'll follow you wherever you go. And it was the idea of this. He thought he knew where Jesus was going, a real physical kingdom. And Jesus is challenging him that he does not have a correct view of what commitment he's making. Jesus is not making an earthly kingdom. Now, one day he will, when the millennial kingdom, the new Jerusalem, but I don't know why I said that so annoyingly. The man, if we're going to make a commitment, we have to make sure we have a correct view of how Jesus views that. Next, he should follow Jesus way above all. Luke 9, 59 and 60. And he said unto another, so the first man he just talked to, now he says to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He wanted to go back and tell his father. Now, if he's coming to talk to Jesus, his father's not dead because they buried their father the day. If he died, they're going to bury him in this culture. So he's basically just putting it off. And Jesus is saying, you've got to make a priority. You've got to do it on my time. Don't wait. The man says, no, I want to go back and I'll get to you later, Jesus. He's like, no, that's not how it works. And then we finish off this chapter. We're talking about making a commitment. Luke 9, 61 to 62. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, you've heard this already. No man having put his hand to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. Even above your family, Jesus has to be a priority. So we've looked at, if you're going to stick it out every day, things are tempting you to quit. You've got to realize God has a plan for your life. Do you believe that? Do you have the confidence that Paul talked about, that God has began it? And that's not the right word. God has begun something in your life and he will bring it to completion. Two, have you made a commitment on Jesus' terms? Three, common challenges to keeping the commitment. So these are a few verses. There's more I could have cited, but here's. So what are some common things that come at us every day to make us want to stop following the Lord? Galatians 5:7. Paul writes, you did well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Number one, disobedience. I don't want to obey the truth. And he says, what cut in or what? Disobedience. Number two, 1 Timothy 1, 3 through 4. Timothy was Paul's disciple. Paul had mentored him. He looked at him as a spiritual son. And Timothy is a pastor in the ancient city of Ephesus. It's located where Turkey is. I've been there. There's the ruins. It's amazing. He says, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogy, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which in faith so do. A couple things he says there. He says, I need you to stay in Ephesus. Paul said, I'm going to Macedonia so that you'll tell people, don't teach other doctrine. Doctrine is truths like Jesus is God, the Bible is the Word of God. Those are doctrinal truths. But then he says this, never give heed, neither give heed to fables. Fables are just clever made-up stories and endless genealogies. People can go on and on about talking about who's their grandma and all this stuff and grandpa, and I'm a descendant of this person, that person. He says, which minister questions. So false teaching is the next one, and it never leads to the conclusion of where God wants us to be, which is rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So disobedience, false teaching, teaching that is not, so somebody would say, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus is not God. That's not good doctrine. And that'll get you sidetracked too. Other things, Jesus said in Mark 4:19, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So other things, lust of the flesh, the things my flesh wants that are contrary to God. deceitfulness of riches. The Bible never says money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. That desire that above all else you have to get money. Money's not bad. We need it. But he's saying when you put that as your God and the cares or worries of this world, letting them consume your heart. One of the first verses I read earlier was out of the heart, the issues of life. This is all maintaining your heart. So we have disobedience, false teaching, other things. And then the last one is disbelief or offended by Christ. So Jesus gives this powerful sermon in John chapter 6. And I've got two verses, John chapter 6, verse 60. John chapter 6, actually I've got three. John chapter 6, verse 64. And then the other one is John chapter 6, verse 64. And the other one is, actually, let me just pick up verse number 60 of chapter 6. So he's just taught. He's got all these followers that are coming, more than just the 12 at this time. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, heard Jesus, what Jesus just said, said, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" When Jesus knew it, in sort of like, we don't know, that's so tough, Jesus. What? That is so hard. So look at what he says. When Jesus knew in himself, the disciples murmured at it. He said unto them, "Does this offend you?" Like, are you offended by that? And we go on down, he teaches a little bit more, but look at what he says. "What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before, what if ye see me go up to be with God? It is the spirit that quicketh, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him." Now notice the next one. "And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man could come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." They were offended. They weren't true believers. So there's some things that will cut in. Number one, disobedience, I mentioned. Number two, false teaching. Number three, other things. And number four, disbelief, offended by Christ. Today we've got to not harden our hearts. So here's just a couple verses on some keys to not quitting. Number one, Proverbs 20, verse 6. "Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find?" Faithfulness, sticking it out. Number two, Philippians 3, 12. "Not as though I had already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." Going forward, working, developing, growing. And the last one, that was Philippians 3:12, Hebrews 10:24 and 25. "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good deeds." Most of the commandments in the Bible, so many of them, like love one another, forgive one another, they require other people to do. "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye say the day approaching." So he's like, there's people in the habit of not spending time in weekly group meeting. It is important that people are in corporate worship. They're meeting every week for praise. That's why COVID was so devastating. We quit meeting together. It's great you listen to this Bible study. I'm so thankful. You could email me. I meant to get my email out, mathewroman@gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. Maybe you don't have a church over there or a church that's open all the time. Let's talk about, we could do some through Zoom different things, maybe a visit. We could help start a church on your island. Wouldn't that be amazing? You could be the beginning of that. Or if there is a church that's preaching the Bible, good doctrine, go to it. Find it and attend it. So there you have it. There's some things. Are you faithful? Are you sticking it out? Are you growing, not stagnant? So there it is. So we mentioned four things. We have one more. Number one, well, it's all founded on you're a Christian. So number one, daily time in the Word. Number two, make sure you're doing focused daily prayer. Number three, mentally bringing those thoughts into obedience to God. And number four, don't quit. So there's the four ones that we talked about. Next week, we'll do the fifth one. God bless you. Hey, are you a Christian? Have you really believed? Why don't you pray with me right now? Tell God, say, God, I'm sitting here listening to radio or the internet, and I just want to get saved today. I want to be a real Christian. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose from the dead, and I know my church cannot save me. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, the time has gotten away from me. It's been wonderful to be with you. I wanted to tell you, I would love to get an email from you sometime. I want to give a shout out to Lydia and Vera over in Akitan. They told me they heard, and that was just very encouraging. And I hope that you'll know any way we can be a help to you. Maybe you need a Bible, I'll send it to you. It's not to get, it won't cost you anything. Don't forget to go on Amazon. You can Google my name on Amazon and search for the two books I have out, This is the Way and One. The one point that everybody needs for all the decisions in life. You can find those on Amazon. My name again is MATHEWVROMAN at gmail.com. The songs we had today were some really, really good ones. We had Lancaster Baptist Church Choir and Orchestra, I Will Rise, The Great I Am. We're going to do Ann Wilson Strong. We're going to finish out with that one. Phil Wickham, This is Amazing Grace. Wonderful, Merciful Savior, piano instrumental cover with lyrics. So there you have it. There are the music. You could just Google those names on YouTube. Remember, there's always hope in Jesus Christ. The song is strong, and we'll enjoy listening to it because it talks about being strong in the Lord. And then I will finish out with, again, Amazing Grace, because I just love that. It's Amazing Grace, how powerful, and it's encouraging, and it gives you just hope, and you just feel it. You feel the energy. So have a good week. Love you. Be praying for you, and please know that there is always hope in Jesus Christ. Bye.
Strong, try to make them all think I'm strong. Yeah, the face I keep pulling on says I ain't tired. But these tear-stained eyes ain't lying. Cause hard, nobody told me life could be so hard. A weary soul with a worn-out heart that's barely beating. But every time I get that feeling, on my own. I can't do this on my own.